You may be seated. Our second scripture reading is the seventh chapter of Job, so let's turn there together. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live alway. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone until I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt see me in the morning, but I shall not be. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. You get a sense of the literary value of this book, don't you, as we read along? There is great literary value in it. There are some things in this that through William Tyndale and others have found their way into a common use, a common prose in our language, such phrases as the skin of my teeth, such phrases as I will swallow down my spittle, and other such difficult descriptions. Well, these things are deep. They are wearisome in a sort of way. We are weary to hear Job turn now his and vent upon his God rather than just the friends. Now he turns and he begins to direct his venting upon God himself. So in the beginning of the chapter, he will say, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? And this is kind of an excuse for him. I'm not going to live forever anyway, so why should you be opposed to me if I long for death? Certainly I'm not going to live forever. As we said in the last chapter, my body's not made of rocks and my sinews made of brass. I know that I'm going to come to my demise someday. Every one of us should know that, and Lord willing, we'll be reminded of that in the afternoon sermon today. So Job would use this as an excuse. Because I'm not going to live forever, why do you cast upon me because I'm ready to go now? Well, because that's wrong, that's why. Because our lives don't belong to us. They belong to God, as we confess many of our brethren do in the Heidelberg Catechism in question number one, that with body and soul I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm His. The Apostle Paul will say as much the same, and that's where the Heidelberg Catechism draws it from, right? That ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are the Lord's. So what has Job forgotten here? That he's not his own. He belongs to God, and he is God's to dispose of as he would. So then he will say, a servant looks for the shadow, and a hireling looks for the reward of his work. Okay, so let's understand what he means here. A servant, when he's laboring in the field, he looks for the day to come to a close, because when the sun starts to go down and shadows start to fill the land, he knows that his day is about over, and he can go and rest. He can go maybe serve his master a meal, and then go lay down from his toil. A hireling, when he sees the end of the day coming, he knows that his coin is coming. Right? That's the hireling. The hireling is the man that lives day to day, hand to mouth. He has less of an interest than a servant, really, because the servant has a household to live in, doesn't look for a coin. He's got bed, board, and all that he needs. The hireling doesn't have any guarantee of that at all. He's got a coin at the end of the day, and hopefully that's enough for him to get a little food. And yet both of them look for the end of the day because there is a reward coming. And Job says, well, then is it wrong for me to look to the end of my suffering? Why would you convict me for that? And so then he will say, I am made to possess months of vanity. Now, he doesn't know this yet, but in the normal course of healing, he is so sick, he is so ill in his body, that if he's ever going to be healed from it, it's going to be months, months and months. We said we don't know how long it is yet. Maybe it's only 8 days. But he uses the term months here because of the depth of his sickness, his bodily difficulty. I am made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lay down, I say, when shall I arise? I can't get comfortable lying down. I'm thinking about getting up immediately. I'm full of tossings to and fro. When I do go to sleep, he said, you scare me with visions. You give me bad dreams. You're giving me no rest. And he's addressing God in there. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. It would be difficult for us to imagine that kind of sickness. What would our attitude be at such a time as that? Would we descend with Job into this kind of complaint, or would we commit ourselves and our case unto the Lord? Well, our hearts go out to Job when we think of how sick actually he is. I mean, even if there is recovery for him, certainly, unless God miraculously intervenes, he will bear the scars of this time the rest of his life, will he not? Something that will always remind him of these days. So then he will say, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They are spent without hope. Of course, to be without hope is to sin against the Lord. Let's remember that. That Job, that as Matthew Henry said last hour, he's speaking for our admonition, not for our imitation here. Job speaks so that we will know how not to speak. There is such a thing as a negative example in Scripture. We should not be without hope, for the Lord has said, and we covered this earlier today, we have cast our anchor beyond the veil, and that hope we have is an anchor for the soul. And so we shall not be without hope. The eye of him that seeth me shall see me no more. As the cloud is consumed, I'll go away and be no more. He'll return no more to his house. His place will not know him anymore. And he's saying these things to his friends. Everybody's going this direction. I quicker than others. So why are you after me? Why have you set your mark upon me? Because I am complaining and longing for death. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And here Job speaks unadvisedly to the Lord. And now in verse 11, he will continue that unadvised speech. Listen to what he says. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest to watch over me? What does he mean by that? It's very interesting, right? When God set the sea, what did he do? He also set up the coast. Why? So that thy proud waves might be stayed. When God has a great sea monster, a whale, what does God do? He sends him to and fro. He feeds him here and there. And Job is saying this, am I like a brute beast that I need to be hedged in by such illness as this? That's what Job is saying. When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling rather than my life. I choose death over life. And that's why. I loathe it. I would not live alway, we might say, anyway. I'm not going to live forever anyway. So if this is my life, why not just bring it to a close now? And yet, as we said before, we say again, Job is not talking about self-harm here. He's asking the Lord to give him that relief of death. If this is all you have for me, then I'm ready to die. As Moses, right, and as Jonah said, in not their strongest moments, but their weakest, so also Job here, not in his strongest moment. Right. So now he will sort of anticipate Psalm 8, right? What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? In other words, Job says, you're the great God. It's almost as if he's saying this. Don't you have something better to do than to worry about poor little Job? Can't you take your attentions somewhere else? Children, all of this is rebellious talk. Job has lost sight of how God is doing him good here. He's lost sight of how God is always doing his children good. And he's learned to doubt that now by listening to his own counsel. All right, so then in verse 20. I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And what does he mean by that? Here's what he means. Of course I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. But even in my sin, what have I done to you that you would do this to me? How have I affected you? How have I hurt you so badly? How have I offended you so hardly that you must strike at me like this? Again, he's questioning God's justice and his goodness. And then finally, and why dost thou not now pardon my transgression, take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Pardon for Job here is what? It's not restoration. Job sees pardon here as granting his request, that the Lord would simply end his life. Well, so what do we have to say about this? Well, we understand that Job is speaking unadvisedly. He will be corrected for this. His friends will come now. Now we'll have Bildad, and Bildad will start his discussion in chapter 8. And what will we find from Bildad? We'll find more of the same from Eliphaz. Supposing of Job some secret iniquity that has caught and has stirred God up to the point where he will work so vehemently upon Job. And so these next few chapters will be Bildad accusing Job of some secret sin. Just come clean, Job. Come on. Just come. You know what you've done. Just give it up. And Job continuing to maintain his uprightness, his friends focusing upon his speech and not upon his calamity, as we said earlier today, refusing to have any sort of compassion for him, any sort of sympathy for him, and instead self-righteously and aloofly separating themselves from him and continuing their base accusation. And so we have a situation that is bad, and it's made worse by BBB, brothers behaving badly, right? So again, we take good counsel from this passage as to how not to conduct ourselves in times of extreme difficulty, that we do not charge God foolishly, that we look to chapters 1 and 2 for our example, rather than chapters 3 and following. That when we are called upon to give counsel to someone and to encourage them, that we don't come at them like Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar. Finally, we will see, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? And what is that? That will be the first good accusation against Job. The Lord will begin to put his finger on Job's sin exactly. It was that he was indeed distrusting of God when his estate changed. So we'll see all of that later, Lord willing.